Let Not the Deep, British Military Quartet, Book 1, written by Mike Lunnan Wood and read by John Telfer.
Prologue. Fiona was born on the 20th of September. For a full week, the sun had beaten down on the South Atlantic, 600 miles off the coast of Liberia. The air was sluggish and the sea had taken on a strange, oily calmness. Now, the surface layer of water had been at 27 degrees for 12 hours, and at noon, small clouds began forming over the area. The air began to stir from its torpidity, gentle zephyrs that would still barely have raised the telltales on a sail, had there been one there. By 2 in the afternoon, the clouds had become larger, swirling. Below their bases, dark and heavy, the wind began to gust, and within an hour, several small groups had formed together, gathered by the increasing air movement into huge, towering anvil shapes. The warm gusts became one, and above, the air began to move faster, fed by the warmth from the water. The collection of giants began to shift, whirling around a centre, as if the vast movement were choreographed by the gods, its massive performers travelling across a 100-mile front, gaining power as their slow revolving dance of destruction began to increase in tempo. With the barometric pressure falling and the winds near the centre already at storm force and gaining strength, she moved westwards, building huge waves, only to snap their crests away into flying foam like the gigantic, malevolent, destructive bitch that she was. Fiona was a hurricane. By dawn the next morning she had travelled 120 miles to the west, and during the dark hours, her whole enormous mass of energy had sucked in yet more storm clouds, and she had tightened her massive coils. Her eye, now a mere 12 miles across, was the calm centre of a vast weather system of shrieking, howling winds that gathered up huge waves into 70-foot monsters that could swallow a coaster. A 12,000-ton Cypriot freighter en route to Lisbon barely survived her fury, and stood, head into wind, under steerage way for a bruising, battering 10 hours. At the weather centre in Atlanta, Georgia, the men who had tracked her berth with a satellite the day before now watched her move westwards. The next 24 hours would be critical. In that time, she would establish her path. If she followed the normal route of others, like her famous brother Andrew, then the centre would issue warnings to ships at sea and the coastal areas of the Caribbean and lower eastern seaboard. She could, however, swing northwards around the Azores high-pressure area and eventually run out of energy over the colder northern waters and be downgraded to a storm. But then, the supervisor mused as he studied the satellite pictures, an old hurricane slamming into the polar zone could make for an interesting, warm, occluded front. And that could have problems of its own. He was right. Fiona wasn't going to go all that way for nothing.